It is said that Christianity solves two of the biggest problems for humanity. First, it solves the problem of the putting together of the human and the divine in the world, that God entered into and became part of the human story. Second, Christianity solves the problem of suffering. If a religion does not show us how to transform our suffering, how to transform our pain, then we will always find a way to project our pain onto something else or someone else. That's a given. Today's readings are about transformation. And no other religion puts this transformative religion more at the front and center than Christianity. Jesus had to teach it to his 12. And as we heard in today's gospel, in a large way, they didn't get the message. Like Peter, they fought him every step of the way. Jesus tells his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer greatly, and die. And he tells them that they must do the same. It appears what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples is what religion has always tried to teach us about suffering and death, that there is something that needs to die. But more importantly, that there is something essential that we could only know by dying. What does this mean? In our second reading, when Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me," he's not telling his disciples how to die. He's telling his disciples how to live. And that's why we owe so much to St. Paul. In his letter to the Romans, Paul's talking about a different kind of dying, apart from the final physical death, the death that we are most concerned about. Paul says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." What Paul is describing is what all religion has tried to teach us over the ages, is that we must face death before death, so that we can learn something ahead of time. Christianity would say that we need to die to our sins. Buddhism would say we need to die to our desires. But it's not the physical death we should be concerned with, because the death that we should really be concerned with is the death of illusion, the death of falsehood. What Christianity would describe as the sin within us. It is that illusion of ourself that is not connected to God. What Paul would call sin or selfishness is what Thomas Merton called the false self. The false self, Merton says, is the private self. The self that wants to exist outside the reach of God's will and God's love. Merton writes, "Everyone is shadowed by an illusory person, the false self. It's the person we think we are, the person we want others to believe we are. This person we create in our minds is apart from God. But this person does not exist except in our minds." The false self is very concerned with status symbols, titles, and reputation. And where it gets trapped most strongly is in our own self-image and our attachments to our self-image. And if we've lived most of our life out of our false self, living out of our titles, our reputations, our accomplishments, then when those are taken away from us, it will feel like death. Because without exception, we will all be led to a situation, a relationship, a sickness, a suffering, a failed something, a falling apart of something, where we can't do it, we can't control it, we can't explain it. And at that point, we either go crazy, grow bitter or angry, or we surrender to God's will and fall into a larger self of who we really are in God, which is inherently beloved. And so what Matthew and Paul are talking about today is the same thing. They're talking about dying to a new life in order to begin living the life that God intended for us from the beginning. And so what we get from Paul is that there is something that needs to die, but it's not someone else. It is us. If you remember in Paul's conversion story, the names Saul and Paul are names for the same person, except that Saul can be thought of the false self before his encounter with Christ, and Paul being the true self after his encounter with Christ. So seen this way, we can say that when Christ opened Paul's heart, it was Saul who died on the road to Damascus that day. And from that moment on, it was Paul who drew his power from a larger life, powerful enough to spread the good news to the four corners of the world. This is the way we die and rise in Christ. Conversions, like Paul's, can be powerful, but conversions also are subtle. There is a daily dying to sin, and there is a daily rising to new life, a daily dying to falsehood, and a daily rising to the better versions of ourselves. Dying and rising is happening all around us and in every moment. Paul's language for this paradox is the same time both challenging and liberating. Paul's theology is paradoxically straightforward in that the only cure for death is to die ahead of time so that the final death can do you no harm.